We're going to begin with the Siman Aleph of the Mishnah Berurah. We're still in that Siman. The Mishnah Berurah writes here in Sifkot and Vav. He makes a general kind of statement which requires delineation. Sifkot and Vav. It's going on what the Ramah said. That one should not be embarrassed. If you recall, about a week and a half ago, we discussed the difference between two terms. The Rambam and the Buchen distinguishes between busha and klima. And in English, I think the two terms are embarrassment and shame. Shame is an internal kind of feeling that one should have if one, chas v'shalom, commits a transgression. It's an inner kind of feeling of that a person recognizes his nullity, lack of self-worth, and that should bring a person to tshuva. But that's an internal feeling. Mashen came, embarrassment. When a person is embarrassed, generally when your hand is in the cookie jar, so then you're embarrassed. That's a more public kind of demonstration. And we mentioned the Mechilta. The Mechilta says, "V'abusha tia yirasa al paneichem bevilti sechato zu abusha." And I mentioned the sefer that was written by Rabbi Manus Friedman, the well-known Chabad Chosid, Why People Don't Blush Anymore. He gave me the sefer many, many years ago, decades ago. And it's a tremendous insight. So the Mishnah Berurah is commenting on this line in the Ramah. The Ramah used the language, Hamal'igim Allah b'avaras Hashem b'izbarach. Those who treat you with lag. Lag, v'kelas, is a psuk in Tanakh. So now comes the Mishnah Berurah and has the following statement. I'm reading Sifkat Vav. V'chein himu adam benoni omeid b'inkom gedolim. We're talking about an average person who's in the presence of, let's say, Gedolei Yisrael. Lo yisbayish mehem lilmod v'lasas ha-mitzvah. One should not be embarrassed to learn from them and to do a mitzvah, even if the mitzvah is being done in their presence. Ach im efshar lo lasas ha-mitzvah shelo bifneihem. It's ideal to do the mitzvah not in their presence. Tov yoser. That's something which would be better. It means essentially the Mishnah Berurah is commenting on the Rambam that one should not be ashamed to perform a mitzvah, even in the presence of individuals who may have greater Torah knowledge than I do. Umiyu b'fnei berunim sheyilmudu mimenu. Let's say you're in the presence of...
What's the chiddush? They're not doing what you're about to do?
No, the chiddush is that perhaps one might be embarrassed. I'm in the presence of the Gadol HaDor, the presence of Hagoyin of Asher Weiss, Hagoyin of Herschel Schechter. So I'm going to go and...
I'm going to make a bracha when I'm in front of them? Why wouldn't I make a bracha?
Okay, 1 second. So Mishnah Berurah is obviously suggesting that one should do it privately. I mean, perhaps there might be an element of gaiva that's involved over here, an element of yuara, that I'm doing a mitzvah in the presence of Gedolei Yisrael, kailu I am putting myself on an equal footing to that of Gedolei Yisrael. It's not clear from the Mishnah Berurah what the chiddush is, but I'll just comment on it in a few moments. Let's say you're people of equal footing, all of us are of the same stature. So then, then on the contrary, Mishnah Berurah said, one should dafka do a mitzvah and do it publicly. Do it dafka in the presence of all these individuals who are more or less of equal stature to you. That they should learn from you. They should behave in a similar fashion. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah right away, and this is what you see, that the comment at the end of Mishnah Berurah indicates what his intention was earlier. Apparently, that's the issue. The issue is gaiva. The issue is yuara.
Did the Rav read the line of Achim et Yev Shalat, so mitzvah?
Yes, yes. Okay, means if it's not if it's possible to do the mitzvah not in their presence, so then obviously that would be ideal not to do it in the presence of Gedolei Yisrael, because maybe it looks a bit like a kind of yuara. That's how I mentioned to Rabbi Feinberg a moment ago. I got that from the end of the Mishnah Berurah, and I simply extended to the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah is telling you a very fascinating din, that one should not be ashamed to do a mitzvah. If it can be done privately, better to do it privately. On the other hand, if people see you doing the mitzvah, they'll be inspired by your doing the mitzvah, and the people of, as I said, of equal stature, then it's better to do it in public. Now, I will just give you a very few examples that all of us are familiar with. I grew up in Chutz Laaretz, and it was certainly very common to make appeals. In the shul that I davened in, I think they were made appeals every mitzvah and domshtein, every Monday and Wednesday. But minimally, they were made on special occasions, and especially Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, all types of appeals they used to make. And what they did was, they would announce pledges. Now, there was an esek how to go about doing it, with envelopes, without envelopes, flaps, and all kinds of different mahalchim that they utilized. Each shul used a different kind of mahalach, but they announced the pledges of individuals publicly. And the idea was to create some sort of hitcharut, to create some sort of competition, that people would rise to the occasion. They would say, oh, he's giving X amount of dollars, so therefore maybe, hopefully, that will somehow have an impact on me, and I will, even though normally I would not have given that kind of money, but now I will, because of the fact that I don't want to be in any way upstanded by him. I don't want to be someone who's going to be preempted by somebody else, and therefore that competition seemingly is what we're talking about, perhaps. I'm just not 100% sure that Mr. Brewer is talking about that. Or for that matter, today it's become very common for people to make siyumim in public. It's a very, very common thing. Yeshivas, it's often done, I imagine, or Avraham Shel Shlita, you see that. We're very into it. I'm not a chassid gadol of that entire mahalach. However, I see it does have value. The value is that other guys see that young people are making siyumim, people 18, 19, 20 years old, and they've never been a siyum their entire life. Bekoshi, they were able to, Baruch Hashem, accomplish something, and they see that effort, with some effort, look what can happen. Look what can be accomplished. And then we make a big bash, a massive kind of chagiga, and then it leads to mosiyum and mosiyum and mosiyum, and as the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, mitzvah goreis mitzvah, avera goreis avera. So obviously there seems to be some value to this, and I believe this based on this Mishnah Berurah. Now the yesod of this Mishnah Berurah is really to be found in the Ramah, and the Ramah actually, they're all, the Kimat, all the Gdoli Achronim refer to a tshuva of the Rashba, the Zirax. The tshuva of the Rashba is a very well-known tshuva. The Rashba talks about this concept, this idea of being mefarsing, of publicizing a mitzvah that a person does. And now and this, of course, is also nogeta a lot of other issues, such as honorary plaques that people place on buildings that they donate, or on aronos, or in shuls, or on the pareches, and the like. And it's clear that it's permissible, it's mutar. But in general, the question is that should that be done in a public kind of way? And that's what's happening. Essentially, people are doing something in order that they should be given the recognition in the public eye. Is that considered to be something which is appropriate or proper? I mean, even the Gemara has in Bava Basra and elsewhere, the Gemara talks about that person who gives tzedakah al manas, sheyichya b'ni, on the condition, let's say, one of my children is not so well, and I want to make sure that the child has a refuah shleima. And often people sponsor all types of shiurim, leilu nishmas, or they sponsor shiurim that they should have a refuah shleima, the sus of doing the mitzvah, and it becomes then a public kind of event. And so then the question is, what's the status of that? So the Rashba has probably the most well-known tshuva on this topic. And the Rashba, this is quoted, as I said, by the Ramon Yerodeh, Semir Resh Memtes, Ramon quotes this Rashba. I'll just tell you more or less the pratim of the Rashba. He's talking about someone who owned a home near a Heichal, near a Beis Knesses, and apparently they wanted to expand it, and he's willing to go ahead and give up the area which is his, the Shetach that belongs to him, and actually this will be able to now help the Beit HaKnesset extend itself and become much larger. So, essentially, the Rashba answers that this is a wonderful thing, and there's no reason to be ma'akev. And then he writes that, Zu midas chachomim u'midas vasikin, kidei litein schar lasos mitzvah, then we're going to publicize it, u'midas ha'torahi shekoseves u'mefarsem ose mitzvah. The midah of the Torah is that we actually, a person does a mitzvah, and then we go ahead and publicize it. V'ma Torah sakein tzvichamani, what a statement. He says it's a midah shel Torah. This is a midah of the Torah to publicize good things that people do, and it should be given its proper pirsum. It should be given its proper publicity. Where is this midah shel Torah? Where does it say in the Chumash? Where do we find in Tanakh? What? So the question is whether that's a raya, and unquestionably, that's the Gemara says, Begalgon Susai de Zakai. The Cholay Dechayim. Gemara has that number of times, and one of them is, you point out correctly, is Benos Socha. But is that this halacha? Or that's a slightly different thing? I would say it's a slightly different halacha, the Gagun Susai De Zakai, the Cholay Dechayim. at least someone is using my car. You see it, David?
Yeah.
The card is there also.
Sorry.
So he asks the Rashba, what's the makar for this halacha? And he says, it's a midah shel Torah. So he answers, look what he writes.
What's the makar for what again?
What's the makar for this concept? A person does a mitzvah. We have a farsa mit, and we publicize it. Mind boggling. He calls it a midah shel Torah. Shein darchin noah. I'm going to read his language. Quotes a famous Medrash Chazal. Hinei ba'atzolas Yosef she'itzila Reuven b'yad echol. Siv olam ha'kosav ha'yishma Reuven ha'atzelim b'yadam. In the context of Yosef's about to be sold, and now the question is what's going to happen. If you remember that the Torah describes different reactions of different individuals. And v'yom Reuven ha'lechol. Ma betza kinar g'sachinu v'chisinu v'zdomo. So the Rashba here quotes that pasuk. So what do we see? The Torah publicizes the fact that Reuven saved his brother. Then we go to Megillas Rus. Sheviter pas v'chometz ichtivu akosu. The psukim say with reference to Boaz also. That again, in terms of his hanaga with Rus, so there the psukim tell us how he treated her with tremendous chesed, and I'll discuss that actually in a moment as well. But again, that seems to be an indication that this is something that can actually be publicized. Then he goes further, the Rashba, and he writes, he reads the verse of the psukim. V'chein kam gedola maseh atzdoka v'asiyah samitzah shekosu anaviyah b'sefer anavua. It says, he obviously was ready to share of his wherewithal with her, and he did so. Whenever a person does a mitzvah, make sure you do it wholeheartedly. She'ilu ha'yodeh Reuven, Shakadosh Baruch Hu machtiv, v'yishma Reuven v'atzelim v'yodom, had Reuven known the Torah would have publicized this, says the Medrash, Hoya Bikseifo Molicha Elovin. He would have taken Yosef and brought him back to his father. Vilu ha Yodeh Aram, another example. Shakarish Bochum Achtelah Binehu Yotzin Kwasecha, Viracha Basamach Belivo. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told to become the man of Yisrael, so instead of Aram demonstrating envy or any kind of kinnah, not only did not do that, but rather he was literally full of joy. But had he known that the Torah would have said, as it does, he would have hired a six-band orchestra and musical instrumentation in order to go ahead and greet Moshe Rabbeinu.
Does this midrash bother you in any way?
Because
it sounds like if I would know that they'd write about me to get all this cover, I would have done this, you know?
I'll discuss it momentarily. Yeah. Of course it bothers me. Anyway, so... But the Rashba, quotes it, one of the Rishonim.
Yeah.
And he goes further. V'ilu ha yodea boas HaKadosh Baruch Hu machtiv alav v'yitzba v'koli v'tocha v'tisba v'tosa, and she satiated for what he gave her. How do you know that Navi would have written that? Agolo pitumo toya machila, we would have brought six steak dinners for her. Rabbi Kohen, Rabbi Yeshua, Diskei B'Shem Rab Levi. So now the Medrash ends by making the following statement. In the past, a person did a mitzvah and the Navi wrote it down. Asha mi kosva. Now what's going to be? Elio kosva. U'melech ha-moshiach v'akadosh baruch hu chesim al yadeim. Very dramatic kind of statement. Who's going to write it down today? Elio, our Navi's writing it down. And who's going to sign onto it? Melech ha-moshiach and Hashem. Ado v'chsiv. Oz Nibro Yir Hashem Yisrael, Vayashem Hashem Vayishma, Vayikasi Vesev Zikar, Lufonim, Yir Hashem Alechosh Yishma. And then he goes further, he quotes the Gemara Ba'abasa, Akuf HaMegimel, Yeshnechlin, Aminim B'Yosi Ben Yo'ezek, Sheikdish, Alisa De Dinri, Shemacha Margulis, the Migdash, Yudgimel Alios De Dinri, Venosra Gizbarim, Shiva, the Igdish, Veshesh HaNosor, Yomdushom, the Kaslo, during the time of the Migdash, he was Magdish, whatever item he said gave to Hegdish, and they wrote it down. Yosef ben Yo'ezer Higdish, he was Magdish X and Y, to Hegdish, Mikana Talome, and now I'm ending the Rashba. So you dog in Lichto Kane, Shemo Samagdishin, Lashamayim, Lios Lemzi Lizikaron, Tov Al Mitzvos. Apparently there's some value to writing down or publicizing the fact that people gave something to Hegdish, and then he ends by saying, Viliftoach Deles Loise Mitzvos. That sounds like the Mishnah Berurah. That if this can spur other people, and even to a kind of competition, that as a result of that, they're going to have an incentive. This will be an impetus for them to do more mitzvahs, or to do so with greater fervor, with greater passion, then there's certainly value to it. So the question is, what in heaven's name is the nature of this medrash that the Rashba calls Midah Shel Torah? It says to be a Torah Midah.
Like the Torah doesn't talk about people applying.
That is for sure. I mean, that's based on the Gemara. That again, we try to, there's maybe a distinction between different types of chatorim, b'dolam haboka, b'dolam chavero, that's discussed by the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, and then many others.
I'm saying these mitzvahs are recorded in the Torah, but the Torah also records people's failings.
It does. It does record. As a matter of fact, that's what many point out. That's the godless of the Torah.
Yeah.
The godless is that the Gdolei HaUmah were essentially great tzaddikim who reached incredible heights, but they were human beings. They were human beings and they were subject to failings, and the Torah has no difficulty even revealing the failings of the Gdolei HaUmah, revealing the failings of the great tzaddikim, because they were human beings, but human beings who reached incredible heights. So this is the subject of a lot of discussion, how we view the Avos and Imos, and this needs a separate Rabbi Nevitzel Shlita. Has a lot of discussion on this in his Sefer on Chumash, in Pashas Vayigash Vayechi. Vayigash Vayechi, you'll take a look at the end. What's known today as Tanakh Begova Inayim. Okay, I can't get into that, they're really a separate topic, and that needs a lot of discussion. How you view the Gdolei HaTanakh in terms of their peccadillos, in terms of their failings, and their the areas where they seemingly acted in a faulty kind of fashion. But the question, what's the pshat in this medrash? Now the Rashba uses it to describe the Midah Shel Torah, and it's clear the Mishnah Berurah is based on this Rashba. So the Ramah actually writes, I mentioned in Yerodeh Sivu Resh Mem Tess, he writes this. So I once heard from Rabbi Menachem Ginak Shlita, the head of the OU, I heard the following interpretation of this Medrash. I heard it from him many, many years ago, and I happen to think that this is the Pshat in the Medrash. I'm going to show you how I think it's the Lashon of the Medrash seems to support his position. Here all these individuals acted in an appropriate kind of fashion. Reuben and Boaz and Aaron HaKohen, they would have acted otherwise. They would have acted otherwise, meaning they had some sort of negia. There was some sort of partisan interest that they had, that it would have changed their mahalach had they known about the publicity. Very hard to imagine. So he explained this medrash, and I think it's in the Lashon of the Medrash here, that Reuben actually, who said that I don't want to kill Yosef Chas v'Shalom, and Hashlichu Oso Labor Azeh Hashem Bamidbar V'Yad Al Tishlichu Bo L'Man Hatzel Oso Miyodom Lashiru Olove. His intention was to save Yosef. I mean, what was his intention? The Torah tells us his intention. He wanted to go back after he'd be thrown into the bor, and then once again get back Yosef and bring him back to his father. That was his intention. It means he acted as a brother. He acted as someone. Of course, there's something. As the Rambam writes, it looks about the Sanim. In the family consanguinity, whatever pasuk or halacha you're going to invoke in order to explain the position of Reuven, what he did. And he did it, obviously, as part of Kibbutz Avraham, not to be mitzayir his father. I once wrote a lengthy piece on this topic. If family members get together and act in a fashion which is wholesome, and they interact with each other beautifully, that's Ein Lecha Kibbutz Avraham Gadol Mizeh. What greater Kibbutz Avraham could there be? What greater nachas could there accrue to a parent than seeing children, even though they may be different from each other, Hashem Shepar Tzofeim and Hamshavim Kafti Yosem and Hamshavos, but they get along so well, and that's a testament to the parents, how they mechanik them, how they raise them, and that's a key of Kibbutz Avraham. But that was the basis why Reuven acted as he did. So the Medrash tells us that, but had Reuven know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have gone ahead and literally written this up in eternity, namely, it was not just simply a partisan, local kind of story that relates specifically to him and to his mishpacha, but rather, we're talking about the future of Knesset Yisrael. We're talking about the Netzach. of Klal Yisrael. Had Reuven known that, wow. Then the Rebbe says he would have taken Yosef on his shoulders and picked him up and returned to his father. Similarly, with reference to Aaron HaKohen, Aaron was very happy that Moshe Rabbeinu became the man of Yisrael, that he was elevated to a position of greatness. But again, that happiness came from a brother who is exceptionally excited about the success of a brother. So he's besimcha, he has tremendous simcha. But had Aaron known that we're not only talking about a yochi, but we're talking about Bechiras Moshe Rabbeinu Ka'av L'chol HaNaviyim. He is going to be the model par excellence of all Nevi'im, Rosh HaNaviyim, to those that came before him, those that came after him, the way we have one of you give Ikrim in the Rambam. So had he known that the Torah would have written this down, and the Torah of course is the Netzach Netzachim, the Torah has an eternal aspect to it, so Ahaskamu V'kamu, says the Medrash, B'stupim U'vimcheles HaYetzel Likroso. Had he known that this is relevant to the ultimate Netzach of Klal Yisrael. And Boaz, in a similar kind of fashion, had Boaz known that when Boaz acted as he did, he acted as the Goyel, as someone who is a Mishpacha, a Goyel to the Almana HaKroiva. But now, had he known that who's going to emerge from Rus, who's going to be a scion of Rus, Melech HaMashiach, will emerge from Rus. We're not only talking about a story which is particular in nature, which is private in nature. It's Nogea to the entire Yehud of Am Yisrael. So then he would have done this incredible simcha with unbelievable joy. So the Medrash answers the achshav that we no longer have Nevi'im. So who's going to write this story? Means even though there are things that happen today to all of us, each one of us in our own lives, privately, correct? So we view it as a private affair, something that has to do with my spouse, with my children, with the members of my family, and it's limited to my particular geographic locus. It's limited to my zeitgeist, to the particular area that I'm living in, and therefore we see everything as a kind of something which is only of a very personal nature, but it's not true. Every single episode and every single event is part of a much larger pageantry, a much greater drama. It's Nogia Lasidobo, and sometimes it can have even historical, tremendous historical value. So even after the Tkuvah of Nevi'im, so who's going to write it down now? The Rebbe says, Elio Anovi Moshiach Tzikenu. They're going to be the ones who are going to write this down. And who's going to chasmin? Who's going to sign? Ribbono Shel Olam, B'chvod HaVatzmo. He's going to sign because it's Nogea. Every single event, even though they seem to be triflings, they seem to be events that are insignificant, that happen to Lilliputian man, to a man who is small, a man who is finite, but ultimately it relates to the Gulas Yisrael. And therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach Tzikenu, they are the Goyel and Lassil Lavo, they're going to write it out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to sign. So the Rashba is saying that this halacha that's found lichora in the Mishnah Berurah, then the Mishnah Berurah is saying a din, that a person should not be embarrassed to do a mitzvah, even in the presence of Gedol Yisrael, who are obviously of greater stature than I am, but if I can do it privately, of course that's ideal. On the other hand, if other people will see the mitzvah, Benonim he calls them, and be inspired to also do it, and be literally lifted aloft as a result of that, whether it's tzedakah, whether it's Talmud Torah, whether it's chesed, whatever area it may be in. So then, says the Mishnah Berurah, it's better to do it in public. And it's based on this Rashba, who indicates that pirsum, this idea of publicizing that which a person does, is a midah shel Torah, is a midah actually that it connects to Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore, as I said, this is something which today I think is very, very common, and people make public siyumim, and people often compete with each other in terms of giving tzedakah. And as I said, I don't know about Eretz Yisrael so much, but in Chutzlars, that's what I remember growing up, on these appeals, on these public kind of appeals that took place on an ongoing kind of basis. And that's something which obviously is of a nature that is critical. Now there's a famous sugi in Baba Tzia, where the Gemara discusses, and Tosfos actually talks about this. The Gemara talks about a number of areas, and one of them is the area of Talmud Torah. The Gemara says the president should really camouflage, the president should hide that which he knows. Famous Tosfos in three areas, and one of them is Masechet, and there's a number of different pshatim exactly what the Gemara is referring to. Big Talmud and Rishonim, it's the Gemara of Chav Gimel, I believe. Chav Gimel and Mabez, that's where Bepuria, Boshpiza, Bemasechta, one of them is Masechta. And in general, the idea is that one should not publicize one's Torah knowledge. Better that a president should say, I didn't learn this, even though it's not true. And the already Mefarshim extrapolate from there, Hu Adin L'Shar Ma'asin Tovim. Also, when it comes to other good deeds that people do, you shouldn't go around and engage in braggadocio, where you're publicly bragging or publicly going ahead and flaunting the fact that look what I did here and look what I did there. People do that generally are people who are full of themselves and full of gaiva, and that's how the Ramah, what I just mentioned a moment ago. But sometimes that we do see, the Gemara has in the Dharam, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Torah Shebal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu nagged what Torah Vasayin on the son of Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu decided to share it with Kal Yisrael. We were given Torah Shebitzah, but Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah Shebal Peh. He went ahead and decided to share it with Kal Yisrael. So apparently there is some inyan, and one should be involved in Pirsum when it's something that's going to be Litzorech Harabim, or the Taibas Harabim. Even though there's a famous Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Zayin, that one of the things one has to run away from and do tshuva for is Rediva Zakovin. I mentioned a few times Rav Soloveitchik was asked, in one of his drushes, asked the famous stira between two statements in Chazal. It's found in the same called the Mezi Koron that has a shofar on the outside cover. So there he has a kasha of stira and two statements in Chazal. One statement in Chazal, we know about Gaiva, the Rambam says, B'yad b'yad yavish faluach, once you run to the other extreme. Double Oshin of Mein Beid indicates that there's no din of the golden mean, no din of moderation when it comes to, no Shvil Azov when it comes to Gaiva. Why don't you be an Ono? Mi'ayin mi'ayin ha'mishra'uach. On the other hand, Hashem Malach Geyus Lovesh. One of the Bizmarim, we say actually in the course of the week. So Geyus is Mid of Gaiva. Of course, Rav Soloveitchik answers Svei Dinim. Dialectic. There's one Mid of Gaiva which is a good thing, namely self-esteem. The person has to build up his self-esteem. Has to have a sense of whom he is. What his talents are, what is he able to contribute to Klal Yisrael, that's a positive thing. On the other hand, gaiva, which of course means to be haughty, to be arrogant, that's something which one, of course, as Chazal tell us, one should run from, literally, as far as one can possibly run. Maybe I'll just share one story, which is, to me, a classic story. In 1971-72, I lived in Eretz Yisrael. I was a Talmud here, in Yeshivat Itri, and I used to go here, by Rav Zsolti, Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, who was the Rabbi Yerushalayim. Rabbi Tzal Zsolti was an Adam Godmai, and he's a well-known personality. He has actually a son-in-law, Rabbi Eichenstein. Rabbi Yishua Eichenstein is a son-in-law, Rabbi Tzal Zsolti. He actually built a yeshiva called Yad Aron, and Rabbi Eichenstein is the Rosh Yeshiva of that yeshiva. So, the following story is a true story. I actually checked it out. Not that I don't trust Rav Zsolti Zatzal, but I checked it out with others and the story, and then I found it written down. I went looking for it to see if it was written somewhere. And I'll just share with you, and that will be the siyum of this. One of the Talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim that one day in Radin told the Chafetz Chaim that I'm going to travel to America. And I'm going to travel to America for Tzorchei Tzibur. So the Chafetz Chaim said, could you do me a favor? There's a shlichus I would like you to carry out for me. I haven't yet finished writing one of my svarim. It's called Sefer HaMitzvos Kotzar. Like many others, the Chafetz Chaim, like many Gedolei Yisrael, Rishonim and Achronim, they more or less took the Gemara down the Makkos, Tayyig Mitzvahs Nevel Hashem Yisina, they felt there was a need to delineate all the 613 mitzvahs. The Chafetz Chaim also decided he's going to write his Sefer HaMitzvahs. It's called Sefer HaMitzvahs Kotzar. It's available among the Svarim of the Chafetz Chaim. But the Chafetz Chaim said that I'm not able to publish it because I just simply don't have the wherewithal. I don't have the finances to publish this Sefer. And so maybe you could find in America some Nadvan, some philanthropist, some individual will be willing to provide the necessary funds in order to publish this sefer. Said, of course, Rebbe, what's the suffix? He has an opportunity to go and help the Gadol HaDor and bring about the publication of the sefer, a tremendous simcha. And so the Chafetz Chaim said, however, I want to just add one tonight. There's going to be one precondition that I'm adding to this request that I'm asking you. That since my intention when I publish Svarim is only L'Shem Shamayim, all my Svarim are published purely built in L'Shem Levado, so I want to make sure that those who are Oseg in the publication of this Sefer will also be the Kavanah L'Shem Shamayim L'Gamri. And therefore, I want the person who's going to give, the patron who's going to give this money should be Torein B'Chevetz Lev, and therefore he has to give the entire sum, but also only someone who's not going to ask for his name to be Hunsach. B'toch HaSefer, someone who does not want his name eternally printed in the Sefer, so that I'm willing to accept the Truma from that individual. It's a purely a selfless kind of act, completely the Shem Shamayim, but if Mitzad himself, he would like his name to be written in the Sefer, as many people are wont to do, and it's obviously a justifiable kind of bakosha, because the person went ahead and gave that money for the sefer. The Chafetz Chaim said, but I don't want that. Only if he agrees to this tanai, to this precondition. But if, let's say, he decides that he wants his name to be written, and then afterward they tell him, you're going to tell him, listen, yeah, but my Rebbe, the Chafetz Chaim, the Gadol HaDor, he requested that this not happen, then obviously that's already begun, and then you cannot use the sefer any longer, and it can only be published, as far as I'm concerned. Now, he has to be someone who does not even make the request, and then he's told what the Chafetz Chaim wanted, and that will be the situation, that will be the condition. Okay, so he went to America, he remained there a number of months, and he actually became sick when he came to America, unfortunately, and he was examined by a doctor, and the doctor told him that in order to have a refuah shlema, he told him you have to go to hot weather, and he suggested you go to Florida. It's the days of the Chafetz Chaim. This story must have happened, I imagine, in the 20s. I can't imagine anything after that. So he told him you have to go to Florida and you're going to rest over there. Okay, so he realized that he was not well, and so he went ahead and he actually took a train to Florida. I think, if I'm not mistaken correctly, that was the story that I heard. When he got off the train, so he's about to go out the exit, and an American Jew comes over to him and gives him a Shalom Aleichem. They began to have a discussion. What are you doing here? Where'd you come from? Etc., etc. And he explained to him where he comes from, what his background is. And so the person who met him at the train station says to him, listen, you know why I'm here? I'm here for the following reason. Because I'm here to tell people who come to Florida and who are guests or visitors that they should not go to a certain hotel. That even though it seems that that hotel has a hechsher, but it's not a good hechsher. And therefore, my job is I come to the train station and meet all would-be guests and tell them they should avoid going to that hotel, which is probably the only hotel that maybe was at that point operative for Jews who want to have a kosher kind of situation. And so he was astounded. This this Jew from Rodden is astounded that this fellow is at the train station and greets people. And so he says to him, listen, I understood this hotel is the only kosher hotel. There is no other hotel. So he said, listen, this is unfortunately not a good hotel. I'm telling you, I'm a frum Jew. It's not a kosher hotel. You can't be somech on it. You can't rely on it. So I feel an obligation to make sure people should not be nishal in achilas nevelos and trefos. I want to make sure. That's why I stand by the train station and greet all would-be potential hotel guests who might come here in order to prevent them. So he was astounded, this fellow. So he said, what am I going to do? I'm really stuck behind between a rock and a hard place. I have nothing to do. So this fellow said, listen, I will invite you to be my guest. You're going to lodge in my home. You'll be with me. And it was right before Shabbos. And they went ahead and he took him to his home. And they were mekabel him b'sefer panim yafos, this Jew who they didn't know from Radin. But they felt that he was alone and the like. And they give him a beautiful room for Shabbos. But say Shabbos, so the oreach turns to the mi'areach, turns to the to his host, and he asks him, maybe you know somebody who might be willing to contribute to a sefer that the Chafetz Chaim wants to publish, sefer mitzvah sakotze. Maybe you had knowledge of a nadvan, someone of that. And he says he needs $1,000, $1,000 to publish a sefer. Then, so the it's true, the Chafetz Chaim had laid down certain tnoim. But he was so torud, this Jew, the fact that he came and the fact that he had to go to Florida and now suddenly find himself in Oreach, so he didn't mention anything. And about the Tanoim of the Chafetz Chaim, he forgot about everything. And the Mareach, here's the Bakosha. After he thinks for a moment, he says, yes, I want to give that money, I want to give $1,000 for this purpose to publish the Sefer of the Chafetz Chaim. However, I have a Tanoim, a number of Tanoim. I want to give the entire sum. No shutfin, I don't want any partners, I don't want anyone to partner with me, I want to give it myself, and I want it to be done be'ilum shem. It should be done anonymously. My name should not be mentioned under no circumstances. I don't want anyone to know about the truma, and certainly I don't want my name to be eternally inscribed in the sefer. I want nothing to do with that. So this fellow is almost similar to the psukim in Chayisara. V'yayish mishtoyelo, machavish lodas, haitzeh Hashem darkoim loy. The way Eliezer Ben Avraham was astounded by the Hashkocha of Hashem Yisbarach. Okay? He gives him the $1,000. The fellow goes back to Radin. He gives the Chafetz Chaim the entire money, sum of money. And before you know it, the Sefer is published. Sefer HaMitzvah Kosa L'Chavetz Chaim. A number of years later, I think it was in 1933, the Chavetz Chaim was Nifter. So this Shliach Dvar Mitzvah, the one who was able to obtain these funds from the Jew in Florida.
Jolti.
I didn't say that. I didn't mention any names yet. Adai Lo Skad Yishum Shem. This Jew, the Shliach Dvar Mitzvah, at one point decides to make Aliyah and move to Eretz Yisrael. So he moves to Eretz Yisrael, and then to retire in Eretz Yisrael. And one day he's sitting on his mirpeset, and all of a sudden he sees in front of him, who's walking in front of him? Hagoyin Rav Zalo Zsolti. Later on to become the Rabbi Yerushalayim. Rav Zsolti himself, by the way, was born in Poland. He was born actually, he came to Eretz Yisrael, I think, when he was 6 years old. His parents made Aliyah when he was 6 years old, and he lived in Yerushalayim. He learned in Eitz Chaim, like many of the Dola Yerushalayim, where Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyebach, that's all, and where he was the Mashgiach. HaTzadik Rabbi Levin was the Mashgiach in Eitz Chaim. Eitz Chaim produced G'dayle Elo. It's unbelievable what they produced. That's what you learned in Hebron. He was known as a well-known Eloi, and first he became, he was a Bezdin in Yerushalayim, and after a number of days, when he was 35 years old, he became a member of the Bezdin HaGodol. So an Eloi Otzer, HaGodol of Batzal Zsolti. He won many prizes, and let's not get into his situation right now. Anyway, this fellow sees, sitting on his porch, he sees Rav Zal Zsolti passing in front of him. And at that time, Rav Zsolti was a very young man, was an Avreich Tzair, but he already was known as a Tamachach Muflog. He was known as an Iluy, the Iluyim of Yerushalayim, and the Iluyim of the Yeshiva Chevron. And at one point, when he wanted to get married, so Shidduch was arranged for him with the daughter of the individual whose name was Rabbi Rachmiel Wexler. That was his Shver. Shver's name, Rabbi Rachmiel Wexler. So this Rabbi Rachmiel Wexler had tremendous kavod for Talmidei Chacham, and he took his son-in-law, who was obviously miyuah to be one of the Gedolei Ador, one of the Iluyim of Chevron. Now this Rabbi Rachmiel Wexler was also a very wealthy person, and he came from American background. He himself also came to Eretz Yisrael, and from American parentage. He was known for Maisit Stoka, for a lot of chesed that he did. So when he saw him from the porch, so the gentleman from the porch, he told that Rabbi Tzalel Zsolti, please come here. So Rabbi Tzalel then went to the porch where this elderly individual who was the Shech Mitzvah, the Chavetz Chaim, was sitting. He went to the porch and he asked him, why did you call me? He said, I want to tell you the following story. So he goes ahead. And he knew who Rav Zsolti was. Rav Zsolti did not know who he was. But so he tells him the entire story with the Shliach Mitzvah to gather money for the Chavetz Chaim, for his Sefer, said Mitzvah Kotzar. And so Rav Zsolti says, Ma Akesher Elai? What do I have to do with the price of tea in China? What's my connection to this whole story that you called me to tell me this entire story? So the man told him that. That person, that American Jew, that met me at the train station and ultimately became my ma'areach and warned me about not going to the hotel because it was not a reliable hotel in terms of its kashrus, and he then took me into his own home and hosted me for that entire Shabbos, and that person actually, because of him, the Sefer Mitzvah Kotzer, the Chavetz Chaim, Yotzer L'Zchuso, that's your shver. Rabbi Rachmiel Wexler, that's your shver, he told him. Don't you know that? Your shver didn't tell you the story? He didn't inform you about what happened? So he was, Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, hamum. He was completely stunned. He never heard of this story? So right away, what does Rabbi Tzal Zsolti do? He quickly runs to his shver. He runs to his shver's home, Rabbi Rachmiel Wexler, and he wanted to know, is this a true story? This story that was told this entire event is a true story that I heard about the Truma for the Sefer Mitzvah Kotzer of the Chavetz Chaim, and Rabbi Rachmiel Wexler all of a sudden became very emotional, became very passionate, and he said, how do you know this story? So he said, Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, I met a certain individual who told me he was sent by the Chavetz Chaim to America to go ahead and try to obtain money for this Sefer Mitzvah Kotzer. And I told him the entire story. So when Rabbi Rachmiel Wexler heard the entire Ishtalshul Hadvarim, so he wasn't able to literally contain himself, and all of a sudden he broke down in tears and he started crying uncontrollably. Unbelievable dmos. So his son-in-law, Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, attempted to calm him down. Brochel batola. He was not calm. He was crying out of control. And finally, after a number of hours, when he was able to come back to himself, Rabbi Achmiel Vechler turned to his son-in-law in a tzibrochen, a kind of voice, and said to him, Rabbi Bezalel, you know probably that my entire life I devoted to tzedakah, to doing chesed, but what value is there? Now, all the cover that I received, all the schuyot that I may have just gone down the drain. With this story being publicized and now coming out into the open. Here I went ahead and I was turning money, and the Tanai, which the Chofetz Chaim laid down, I didn't even know about the Tanai, but I myself decided that's the right thing to do. And now in one moment, even on this schus that I thought I had, even that schus is going to be lost in me, how can I not start crying? So this story I heard from Hagoyin Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I used to attend the Shiurim in Yerushalayim on a monthly basis, and I went to his Shabbos Hagolah Drashas and Shabbos Shuvah Drashas, you know, Darshan Mufla, unbelievable Talmud Chacham, and a tremendous charisma, unbelievable charismatic individual. And once I was zeichet to hear the story, and then I checked out the story with members of his family, and then subsequently I saw it written down, the entire Maisa, this is Nogea to this Rashba. Lechatchila, of course, one should do things completely l'shem Shamayim, but we're all human beings. We're not Malachi Ashores. And if we do something and there's a pirsum and it's done l'shem Shamayim, so let it be done l'shem Shamayim, to the point where not only is it a particularistic, private kind of event, but it's one, hopefully, that will recognize that if we know what we are about to do, then Eliyahu HaNavi, Melech HaMashiach, they'll come, and the Rebbe Shem himself will sign on to this mitzvah that I do. Alavai all of us in Mitzvah Hashem should continue to do mitzvahs and be zocher to the whatever schus and schad that we deserve to get in Merv Yomim.
Amen.
Are we allowed to publicize that story? I feel bad publicizing the story, no?